Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Healthcare. It is Monday, March 16th, and I'm going to jump around a little bit. I would like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 672. Zena.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 672 creates the Office of Oral Health and the Oregon Health Authority. It requires the office to provide recommendations on preventing oral disease and promoting oral health with a focus on underserved populations. It requires the Office of Oral Health to monitor, study, and apprise oral health needs and resources, expand and evaluate oral health practices, provide information and education concerning oral health, evaluate and assist with population-based dental programs, and develop policies to promote oral health. There is no revenue impact, and there's been no fiscal statement issued yet.
Okay. Do we have a list? First. Dr. Smith and Dr. Austin.
Chair Monis Anderson and member of the committee. I'm Janine Smith. I'm the Chief Medical Officer for the Oregon Health Authority. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Bruce Austin, the new statewide dental director.
And it's so nice to have you here. First time. Welcome.
Thank you.
I've been looking forward to having a dental director for a while so we can get our act together. So thank you.
You're welcome. Look forward to working with you.
So we just wanted to, one, make the committee aware of us as of February 23rd, so not too long ago, Dr. Austin joined us. He comes with both having worked in one of the dental care organizations as well as both in the commercial and military populations and with local communities on oral health issues. He's works with me across the agency and is splitting his time initially between the Medicaid program and the public health division activities, is just getting barely up to speed to what all's going on at the moment and what the needs are, has started to meet with some stakeholders and others to get to know what's going on and be familiar with the oral health initiative and collaborative efforts that have been going on. And so we really don't think it's quite the right time yet to have this effort that's outlined in this bill at this point. I think as we have a little more time, we also have our new recently confirmed director, and sort of the whole how life is at the authority needs to be considered, and how we can best serve and help the citizens of Oregon to have optimal access to oral health care and improve dental health integration. So we would just want to ask the committee to consider possibly delaying these kind of activities that are outlined in this bill until we've had some chance to really get Dr. Austin up to speed.
Okay. One suggestion that has come up when Dr. Impey was a dental director, that there was a frustration sometimes between being pulled one way for the Medicaid program and the other way for the public health, and to and I don't know how you can make that more of a balance, but I just wanted to throw that out, that had been voiced as a concern.
Chair Monis Anderson, we tried to do that in terms of the structure, in that Dr. Austin works under me, under the what we sort of created as an office of the chief medical officer. So we work closely across with Lily and Shirley in the public health division, as well as Judy Moore Peterson and the team at the Medicaid operations, so that we. And also interacting with the Transformation Center on efforts around learning collaboratives, et cetera. So I think we can weave that balance well. They've already started to look at what public health grants might be available now that the state has a dental director that we were not allowed to apply for in the past.
But now we will be.
Yes, actually, I think they're in the midst of writing furiously as we speak on a couple of opportunities.
And if I may, Madam Chair,
yes.
We've actually, since I also sit on the Human Services Subcommittee for Ways and Means, we've actually approved a couple of grant requests already, related to oral health for pregnant women, for children, really exciting things. And I'm particularly excited, having been one of the people who pushed pretty hard to get that budget note in 2 years ago, to have this position filled and to welcome you to our team here.
Thanks.
I think it's really exciting. As a physician, I obviously care a lot about people having healthy mouths so they'll have healthy bodies.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. George, do we start with you, or is it Tracy and Grace? Who do you want? Who do you want to go first? Tracy? And Vanessa Brown and Mel Rader. Please proceed.
All right, Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'm Tracy Dannon Grace. I'm with Kaiser Permanente, and today I'm here representing the Oral Health Funders Collaborative, which is a membership organization of some of the top philanthropic organizations in the state, including organizations such as Cambia, Northwest Health Foundation, Oregon Community Foundation, and ourselves, Kaiser Permanente. We formed this collaborative back in 2010, because as funders, we were seeing the need arise from community-based organizations and the need for oral health and for Oregon citizens. Through that collaborative, we've invested several million dollars collectively within the oral health sector and public health sector. I'm representing that collaborative in Senate Bill 672 around the dental director in order to make sure the voice of oral health for Oregonians is at the top of mind with the Oregon Health Authority and the state. As many of you may remember, back in May, members of the collaborative came to this committee when we were working on the Oregon Oral Health Strategic Plan, which was largely underwritten by the Funders Collaborative, but it was in a partnership with the Oregon Health Authority and the and Oregon Oral Health Coalition. And together, through this public-private partnership, there are many strategies and guidelines and policy objectives that the collaborative supported, one of those being 6772. And really, the purpose is for oral health for all Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Moniz Anderson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Vanessa Brown, and I am an orthodontist from the Portland area. I am here today on behalf of the Oregon Dental Association in support of Senate Bill 672. For the last 5 years, Oregon has been in the midst of an unprecedented transformation in our healthcare delivery system. Oral health has been recognized as a key component to overall health and a fundamental part of the triple aim. Yet until February of 2015, dental care was being integrated into a greater health structure without the benefit of a dedicated presence and voice to influence policy. Oral health can be significantly improved through early intervention that includes both education and prevention. For years, Oregon has missed opportunities to promote oral health through statewide dental public health programs due to lack of leadership and dedicated and comprehensive funding in the public health department. Although we are very pleased that OHA prioritized the hiring of a dental director in February 2015, and we now have one, it is more important than ever to add the position to statute to make sure we never go without one again. We need to ensure there is a continued funding for not only this position, but for a comprehensive oral health unit. We envision that adding a dental director to statute will help our state elevate the importance of oral health by formulating and promoting the establishment of dental health policy for the state, promoting the development and implementation of programs and policies for the prevention of oral diseases among other chronic disease programs, forging internal and external partnerships to ensure that oral health is addressed when policies are being considered and programs are being planned, providing consistent information on oral health to health officials and policymakers, leading the development and expansion of oral public health campaigns and care delivery systems, and finally, assisting in developing and implementing initiatives for prevention and control of oral diseases. There are a myriad of benefits simply having a dental director can provide to our state. For starters, a dental director can help Oregon qualify for federal grants to the state, grants that the state hasn't been eligible to even apply for in the past without a position in place. Many of these grants are designed to help increase dental care access for underserved populations. Oregon went far too long without a dental director, and we ask for your support of Senate Bill 672 to prevent it from ever happening again. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, my name is Mel Rader. I'm the Executive Director of Upstream Public Health. I strongly support this bill. I think this is kind of the bill that really speaks for itself, that it's past due time to have an Office of Oral Health, a permanent dental director, to provide vision for the state around dental disease and policies and programs that can address it. I think for a while, dental health has been somewhat siloed, and it's not quite the same as, you know, it's in a different category from healthcare services. It's in a different category within the public health division, not in the chronic disease unit. And I think because of that, oral health has not had the attention it deserves. Dental disease is the most common chronic disease among kids, and it has lifelong impacts. This is an exciting opportunity to provide new vision, new programs, new direction to drive integration of dental health into healthcare transformation and more effective prevention programs at the community level. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Questions for the panel? All Thank right. You. Thank you so much for coming. Deborah Loy and Larry Burnett. Dr. Burnett.
I'm in favor of the proposal. I have nothing to add to what's been said so far.
Senator Monis Anderson, Chair and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to be here. For the record, my name is Deborah Loy, and I'm the Executive Director of Government Programs for Capital Dental Care. And I think the hiring of a dental director is an enormous first step for oral health, and I applaud that. And I'm over the moon that we now have one. I would like to comment that I think an important part of the state dental director's role will be to make sure that we staff the state oral health program and fund it and empower him to really influence policy regarding oral health and its impact on overall health in our state. Of critical importance is that his role be definitely more than advisory, recommending cursory or reporting only, that we really do have a policy opportunity. And I'd like to make a brief comment to your statement earlier to Dr. Smith. Having known Dr. Empey and listening to some of his frustrations prior to his retirement was that sometimes the goals of the public health division and the goals of Medicaid are the same, and sometimes they are not. And when they were not, without having somebody to intercede within those two agency goals, there sometimes reached an impasse of which no decisions were made. So I would be really excited if Dr. Smith's unit, in whatever the new goal is of that program, is able to intercede, because sometimes the two agencies that the dental director will be involved with will have common goals and sometimes not. So I'm over the moon that we have a state dental director.
Great.
Thanks.
Any comments? All right. And you took note, right, Dr. Smith and Dr. Austin? Okay. With that, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 672 and open a public hearing on 662. Zena?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 662 specifies that dental instructors licensed applicants must complete advanced dental education program from an accredited school. There's no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Great. Jeffrey Stewart and Vanessa Brown.
Good afternoon. Senator Monis Anderson and members of the Health Care Committee. My name is Dr. Jeffrey Stewart. I'm a faculty member at the OHSU School of Dentistry, and I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 662. SB 662 changes one word in the statute relating to dental instructor licensing so that the Oregon Board of Dentistry can issue a faculty license to dentists who earn an advanced degree from an accredited dental school. The way the statute is currently written, the Oregon Board of Dentistry can only issue a faculty license to a dentist who earned their degree from an accredited program within an accredited school. The problem came to light when OHSU hired a dentist faculty member with an advanced degree in oral medicine from the University of Washington, which is one of the premier oral medicine programs in the United States. The University of Washington School of Dentistry is fully accredited, but the oral medicine program was not accredited separately because the Commission on Dental Accreditation, or CODA, was not accrediting these programs separately at the time of her graduation. These type of programs are accredited along with the general accreditation of the entire dental school programs. But this means, based on the current wording of the statute in question, the Oregon Board of Dentistry cannot grant her a faculty license to practice at the dental school. This one word change would allow the Oregon Board of Dentistry to issue faculty licenses to dentists who earn their advanced degree from a program in an accredited dental school, even if the program within the school is not separately accredited. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Chair Monis Anderson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Vanessa Brown, and I'm an orthodontist from the Portland area and a recent graduate from OHSU. I'm here today on behalf of Oregon Dental Association in support of Senate Bill 662. We are incredibly fortunate to have a brand new dental school facility in our state. This new building has created a place where dental students can learn and provide patient care in a modern state-of-the-art setting. The OHSU School of Dentistry plays an important role in fulfilling the oral health care needs of the citizens of Oregon, graduating some of the best clinically trained dentists in the entire nation. In addition to being a place where students and faculty provide important treatment to fellow Oregonians, the school is a nationally recognized dental research facility and is a sponsor for dental continuing education. Senate Bill 662 modifies the current language regarding the dental instructor's license issued by the State Board of Dentistry. A simple word change will assure that our only dental school in the state will be able to hire the appropriate faculty that have graduated from fully accredited schools, whether specific programs are accredited separately or not, to train the next generation of dentists and dental specialists. This change is critical to continuing the educational and patient care programs at the same high level to which we hold ourselves accountable. Thank you for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I had the opportunity last summer to tour the new dental school, and I was so impressed and very excited that we are really becoming cutting edge and could be a draw for many, many professors. I think that we're ready. If there's no further discussion of this panel, I want to thank you so much for coming, and I will close the public hearing on 662 and open a work session on Senate Bill 662.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 662 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 662 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Aye. Shields?
Aye.
Senator
Steyer
Hayward?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Aye.
Chair Moss
Anderson? Aye. Motion carries, and we'll let the dentist of the Senate carry it, Senator Girard. With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 662 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 673. Zena.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 673 permits dentists to administer immunizations against restrictable diseases. It allows the Board of Dentistry to adopt rules pertaining to the administration of immunizations by dentists. It adds dentists to the list of providers authorized to provide immunizations. There's a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Okay, the only one person is Danielle, is it Soci. Dr. Soci, come on.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Daniel Sosi. I'm a general dentist here in Salem, and I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Dental Association to support Senate Bill 673. I've got a written handout that I'm not going to read from, but the bottom line is dentists see a lot of people, patients, more frequently than their primary care providers. The goal of this bill is to allow dentists to give immunizations, vaccinations, routine care for the and we see it as an opportunity for an increase in access for the Oregonian community. The other thing about this that I like is it raises our profile as part of Oregon's healthcare community. Dentist, the word silo was mentioned earlier. We're part of the Oregon health team, and here's another opportunity for increased access and making recognizing us as part of the Oregon health team. Dental students are trained to, along with pharmacists and medical and nursing students at the new school, and I know my wife is a pharmacist and gives vaccinations. I think I should, too, if I want to. thank you for your time, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
So is it in your scope of practice right now?
This would change that.
So this would then go to the Board of Dentistry to adopt rules and standards and a training program?
I'll have to defer to someone else on that.
Okay.
But I think that's why it's legislation, so it'll be, yes.
Yes, Senator Steiner Hayward.
Madam Chair, as the chief sponsor of this bill, I would say yes. This will go to the Board of Dentistry and the Health Authority to adopt rules on how to do this. And my understanding, Doctor, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that my guess is that very few dentists are going to want to administer the full panoply. But certainly when you think about things like influenza immunization, if you happen to catch someone at flu season, any opportunity we have to protect more of the public from influenza, or if you have somebody who comes in with a traumatic injury and a tetanus immunization is indicated, you just want to have the ability to offer that service to your patients, just as those of us who are...
One of the things that I see that is shingles.
Yeah.
Oh, my,
good,
you know,
point.
That kind of stuff. There are things that we see orally that we could help intervene on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Cruz and then Senator Shields.
Yeah. We've expanded the list of those who can immunize considerably, which is a good thing. My only question is, where does all that data come together? So,
well, if I may, Senator, we have in Oregon one of the most robust immunization registries in the country, and dentists, like any other provider, would be required to put those immunizations into that system. And so obviously any dentist who wanted to administer immunizations would need to be trained on how to do that, have his or her system set up so that that was done properly. I certainly wouldn't want this to happen and not have all those immunizations go into the registry so that we are able to track who got which batch of an immunization. It's a great safety feature. It's a great public health tool. So my expectation is that that's what would happen were we to pass this bit of legislation.
There's extensive record keeping on this.
Yes,
this.
We have the alert. What is it? The alert.
Immunization alert.
Immunization alert program. And having used that as a public health nurse, you do need to be trained on.
It's gotten easier over the past few years, and it integrates with electronic health records better now, but doesn't necessarily integrate with dental electronic records because it's not set up that way. So those might be have to be entered manually, but it's not that big a deal anymore. It used to be much harder.
Yes, Senator Shields.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to commend you for wanting to be involved in this. I mean, this is something that is absolute charity at its best, and you're not going to make money off of vaccines. I think the talking to my wife, who's a nurse practitioner, I think she said something like they get $1.30 to administer a vaccine. So, and this requires a lot of record keeping. If you have a power outage, you're on the hook for the vaccines that are part of the vaccine.
Everything that's in the fridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, I just wanted to commend you for your intention. I think that the fact that you want to make sure that more people get vaccines and are healthy is commendable.
And I want to stress I'm here representing the Oregon Dental Association, so the whole organization is in favor of this.
That's great.
Thank you very
much. Because you will need someone to monitor the temperature of the refrigerator daily or more than once during the day. Is the Board of Dentistry here? Okay.
My understanding is the board doesn't have any concerns, Madam Chair, but I don't want to speak on their behalf. I mean, I haven't heard anything from them about any concerns.
Because I really hate to move this out without a comment from the Board of Dentistry, so would you make a note to them? We were ready to move it today, but I just want to make sure that they don't have any opposition. I don't think they do, but they're not here.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 673 and open a public hearing on 606 and 692, since they both have to do with removing the sunset on the dental pilot projects. There are two different versions, and Alyssa Kenny-Geyer and I just want to know what the will of the committee will be on that.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 606 appropriates money to the Oregon Health Authority out of the general fund for extending dental pilot projects. It extends the dental pilot projects until 2023 and declares emergency effective on passage. Senate Bill 692 repeals the 2018 sunset on the Oregon Health Authority's approval of dental pilot projects intended to encourage innovative practices in oral health care delivery. Fiscal and revenue statements have been issued.
Okay, so shall we have Tracy, Danner Grace, George O'Coolidge, and Kelly Barnes?
Start.
Yes, please do.
Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, for the record, my name is George O'Coolidge here on behalf of the Oregon Dental Association. Before I start, I would just like to say to the chair, I do appreciate you scheduling all the dental bills together. It's so happy dental day to all of you. In December of 2010, at the request of Chair Monis Anderson, the Oregon Dental Association began a mediation project with the Oregon Oral Health Coalition to really work on the topic of access to care. And over the course of 4 or 5 months, considerable amount of time and expense, we were able to come together with a bill that really maintains the integrity of the dental team, but also starts to get to the root of access to barriers to care in Oregon. And that's essentially what you had in Senate Bill 738. After the bill was passed, we did engage in a lengthy sort of rulemaking process, which is why I think one of the reasons I think we're here today is that a number of these dental pilot projects did not get started as early as we preferred. And so, you know, we're back here today asking that we extend the sunset of the bill. Now, I know there's both Senate Bill 606 and 692, and I sort of wanted to talk about them both and sort of make a suggestion. In terms of Senate Bill 606, this bill has a number of issues in it that we were particularly concerned with. Certainly in Section 2, you know, line 13, where it changes that the Oregon Health Authority may approve pilots projects to shall approve pilot projects. This is something actually that the Oregon Dental Association is opposing, you know, particularly because of that rulemaking process. And one of the things that we had worked on with the number of folks actually in this room was really that in order to, you know, properly look at all these issues, we needed to sort of build some metrics into them, certainly to determine the level of success that each of these pilot projects would have, sort of some starting points and ending points. and we wanted to make sure every pilot project that was brought forward did fit within this sort of model or matrix. And so we would suggest that, again, that the Oregon Health Authority continue to have that flexibility to be able to approve ones that do fall within that sort of established criteria. Senate Bill 692 gets rid of the sunset, and Senate Bill 606 moves it back 5 years. Sort of in conversations with folks, we are very supportive of moving the date back, and I have suggested even almost a compromise position of taking moving it back 10 years from today. One of the reasons we have opposed the complete elimination of the Sunset Project is just because we are dealing with, frankly, the unlicensed practice of dentistry. And I think coming back in 10 years to review what these pilot projects are, what they're doing, makes a lot of sense. And so whether the committee decides to move forward with either Senate Bill 692 or Senate Bill 606, I would just would like to work on an amendment with the chair and other interested parties to find one that's appropriate. And I certainly do agree there is, I think 606 has the appropriation requirement. Would love to work with the co-chairs and folks to make sure we do have continued funding for these pilot projects, because I will sort of end my testimony that I believe there are two pilot projects, and there are people who can speak more about the pilot projects that are moving forward. These are both pilot projects the ODA supports, and we're excited to be a part of. So we do want to make sure we are able to continue to do so. Thank you.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tracy Dannon Grace, and I'm representing the Oral Health Funders Collaborative, and Kaiser Permanente being a member of that collaborative. On behalf of the collaborative, we're in support of Senate Bill 606 to extend the sunset of Senate Bill 738. One of the things, again, that this is supported in the strategic plan for oral health in Oregon, which again was a collaborative effort among many different organizations. A little perspective, or I guess some thoughts from the philanthropic community. Kaiser Permanente and many other fellow funders, Kaiser Permanente has just finished up a 3-year funding initiative in the amount of $1.2 million. We did robust evaluation around that, and we are still finding significant access issues for Oregonians in the state. And by supporting this particular Senate bill, we're in support of different innovative models to address the oral health needs of the state of Oregon. And most significantly, those impacts affect underserved and disadvantaged Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Mona Sanderson and Health Committee members. Thank you for hearing our testimony. My name is Kelly Barnes. I'm not a lobbyist or anybody that represents an organization or nonprofit. I'm here as a concerned citizen interested in oral health in our community. I have an interest personally because I've spent a lot of time looking at this issue in oral health and was vested during the campaign as somebody who believed in alternatives to water fluoridation. And rather than just be against that policy, I'm very much for crafting policy that brings those in opposition and in support together. So I continue to advocate and work with dental advocates on those issues. I was actually the person behind proposing the legislative concept for Senate Bill 606, mostly because I understand that these pilot studies are just up and going, and I really see that workforce diversity and workforce expansion will greatly help some of the access to dental care in our state. I have no opposition to the suggestion that George just mentioned about changing the language from may to shall. I have no idea how that happened, and just being new to the process, I wouldn't be against that. I do see there's a benefit in potentially keeping the agreement that parties had in negotiation of these terms. Even though I do believe elimination of the sunset would have value, there were parties involved in those early negotiations, and some of them were contentious by my understanding, so it might be nice to honor those earlier agreements and just have a compromise of 10 years. That's all I really have to say.
Thank you so much for coming. All right. No questions? All right, Deborah Loy, Larry Burnett. And then who can speak for the Oregon Health Authority on pilot projects? Come. Deborah.
Chair Mona Sanderson and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be here. For the record, my name is Deborah Loy, and I'm the Executive Director of Government Programs for Capital Dental Care. I'm also an Oregon Oral Health Coalition board member, so I was very much involved in the mediation and the interests that were brought forth as part of Senate Bill 738. Regarding Senate Bill 606, we are supportive of Section 1 of Senate Bill 606, which would provide funding for the dental pilot projects. I think one of the issues that has been a barrier to any pilot projects starting with Senate Bill 738 was there was no funding for a person or position at the Oregon Oral Health Program to be overseeing and approving these pilots. That person was, or funding for a person was approved I think in the last session, which has made a big difference for the progress of moving these forward. So I think looking at continued funding for a position within the health authority and within the state oral health program would be important. We are opposed to Section 2 of 606, which would make changes to the original language of Senate Bill 738. Although we're very supportive of the pilot projects and Senate Bill 738, we also understand the many hours that were put into mediation, and we don't believe, and also the many hours in rulemaking, and don't believe these changes would add anything to the pilot project concepts and the ability to start pilot. We support an extension rather than a full repeal of the sunset date. We are supportive of the date that was indicated by George, which is 2025. I think a key part of Senate Bill 738 was an opportunity to report back to the legislature on what is happening with these pilots, and I think having a 10-year window to sort of make sure we're kind of doing that is important. Since Senate Bill 692 also has to do with removing the sunset, the same concepts would apply, or our positions. We certainly would support one bill or the other in not potentially removing the sunset altogether, but to push it quite far out to allow sufficient time to conduct pilots and to also make sure that there's a funding appropriation.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Larry?
Yes, I'm very much in favor of
this. State your name for the record.
Oh, my name is Larry Burnett. I'm a retired dentist. I'll just tell you a little about my background that has to do with my expertise in the area I speak of. Most of my career has been spent as a teacher of dental hygienist in a dental hygiene school, professor of oral microbiology, and a clinical director. And most of the rest of my career was spent on the road, on the seminar circuit, trying to teach these same simple matters to dentists, which mostly consist of the fact that the two main diseases of dentistry are really bacterial infections, and they are well solved as medical problems, not just dental problems. So that's the angle that I come from. And I think these pilot projects are so important that they hold the answer.
Push the microphone a little bit away from you.
They hold the answer, in my opinion, to the childhood decay problem, especially in the underserved. I think they will be found. But what I came to talk about in respect to those projects was the recent Supreme Court decision. Are you all aware of it, concerning the state boards of dentistry and competition? And is that something I should spell out?
Mind us, all right.
The bottom line was that the boards of dentistry, if they have competitors, they are not allowed to make rules that keep the competitors out. The Senate, the legislators, can make the anti-competitive rules. and the board can carry them out. But if there is an anti-competitive rule to be made, the senators have to take responsibility. They have to know why it's anti-competitive, what is the good of the public is going to be accomplished by the anti-competitive rules, and then the legislators must supervise the anti-competition. It's going to be pretty strict. It's going to affect all boards, not just dental boards. So I would like to make the point that maybe no one understands that hygienists are competitors of dentists in a sense. Although they are team members, they are also competitors, especially the independent dentists that we have in Oregon. They are trying to make their living, many of them, by eliminating the childhood decay problem. And the competition should be open. And the competition for these projects should be open to anybody. And let me express the reasons why this is so very important, because modern dentistry is ready to beat the childhood decay problem. I pose the not hypothetical question of, what do you think the most important development is in dentistry in the last 100 years? Most of you won't know, and I don't think most of the dentists in the room actually know. But the answer is, we discovered the ability to reverse early decay before a filling becomes necessary. We can do that in dentistry, and the people that can do it the best are hygienists. It doesn't take drills. It doesn't take dental degrees. It takes risk assessment and completely stopping the decay and reversing it using the risk assessment, which the hygienist can get in a pilot project. Ideally, the pilot project would be in a pediatric office where they can reach the children at the most ideal time. That is the age of one, when the teeth are first erupting. That is what's been missing, the access to put to work the new tools that let us reverse decay. Access to the infant at the same time that the parent is there to do what it takes to reverse this childhood decay. As competitors, the hygienists are being ruled out. And I'm not here representing the hygienists, believe me. My interest in this is it's my project that I'd like to see, because it's going to happen within 10 years anyhow, but I'd like to see it happen in my lifetime, see the answer to childhood decay found right here in Oregon, where all the necessary ingredients are in place for it to happen.
Thank you.
I've got a list. Let me list the states, the countries that that allow hygienists to practice independently. I had to write them down because I couldn't memorize them all. And by the way, I checked with each of these countries on Google to see if I could find any harm that had come to the public from independent hygienists working on them. And even Google couldn't find any harm. So the countries are completely independent hygienists. Austria, Canada, Denmark, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, Slovakia, Sweden, and Switzerland. These are not third world countries. These are countries with the knowledge of what I just told you. We can stop childhood decay problem.
Thank you very much. I am a firm believer in expanded scope of dental hygienists under the supervision of a dentist, and I'm excited that Oregon is one of the few states that's going.
Excuse me. I'm in favor of this, not under the supervision of dentists. I specifically, expressly say the evidence says to keep the dentist doing what they do well and do very well, drilling and filling and keep getting those kids out of pain. But our new abilities are not in that area where of late decay. Our new abilities are in the area of stopping early decay, leading to a lifetime of decay-free children. And we don't need the dentists. They cost more. The hygienists get $40 an hour. The hygienists get $300. The dentists get $300 an hour. This, we have independent hygienists in Oregon that can do prevention better than anyone else.
Well, I know we're on the right track. Yes, Senator Shields.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was familiar with that court case. In fact, I wanted to remind the committee that on the issue of whether or not CCOs should have an antitrust exemption, a lawyer that I talked to, Keith Devanovich, argued that they should not have an antitrust exemption based on that case. I thought that was interesting that you brought that up. Thank you.
Glad you knew that.
All right. Well, we have some questions for the Oregon Health Authority. Do you want to introduce yourself? And
good afternoon, Chair. Mona Sanderson and members of the committee. My name is Kate Wilcox. I'm the manager of the maternal and child health section in the Oregon Health Authority Public Health Division. And the oral health program sits within my section in public health.
And so it looks like we'll probably do some version of Senate Bill 606, but what I wanted to know is there in the current continuous funding, is there continuous funding for the dental or for the pilot project coordinator?
Chair Mona Sanderson, currently what we have in terms of resource to manage this project is what was given to us, the $100,000 after the end of the last biennium. And as you know, we're towards the end of this biennium, so we won't have any funding to carry forward to be able to continue this work.
Okay, because that's critical. And I know that after we passed 738, we had to keep reminding the Oregon Health Authority, and they say, well, we don't have money, so we had the discussions with Ways and Means. They said, yes, they had appropriated money, and for some reason we didn't. We finally did get a coordinator, and so that's why we probably have to go with 606. We'll work on amendments to increase it. I think 2025 is what people have thrown out. That's my main question that I had, that the pilot projects won't go forward because you don't have funding.
Correct.
Which is crazy. Okay. Comments? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Zena will work on amendments, and there's no one else to testify on that bill. I will close the public hearings on 606 and 692 and open our last bill, Senate Bill 660. Zena.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 660 requires the Oregon Health Authority to develop a program for screening students susceptible to tooth decay and to provide dental sealants to students. It specifies that the program must screen and provide services to students in 1st, 2nd, 6th, and 7th grade and those who attend school with at least 40% who are eligible for the National School Lunch Program. It appropriates funds and declares an emergency effective on passage.
Okay, Doug Barber, Matt Sennett, and Kelly Barnes.
Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee, Doug Barber here today on behalf of Willamette Dental in support of Senate Bill 660 and a -1 amendment that you will see in the record. This bill came about actually based on conversations that we had with legislators over the last couple of years. We would often be asked, given that it looks like Oregon is not going to fluoridate its water, what are we going to do for children to help prevent decay? And increasingly, it looked like the answer to that question was expand the dental sealant program. Oregon has a very good dental sealant program that provides sealants to first and second graders in schools around the state. But they, in working with the Oregon Health Authority in this program, they had a couple of suggestions for ways that program could be expanded. Currently, schools are eligible if they have 50% free and reduced lunch in their school. The health authority said that they could change that criteria to 40% free and reduced lunch, which would 30%, says Senator Cruz, which would allow a number of other schools to qualify and many more students to be eligible for the program. The other expansion would be to go into middle schools where young people's permanent molars have erupted and can be sealed to help stop and prevent decay. You will notice in the bill there's a blank for funding for this proposal. The cost depends a lot on exactly how it's done, and I'm sure you're going to hear a lot from the other, from the dental care organizations about transitioning this program from the Oregon Health Authority and the Dental Sealant Program actually doing the work to being in a position more of setting the standards and certifying other programs to go into the school and do that work. So with that, I'll turn it over to Matt.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Mona's Anderson and the rest of the committee. I'm Matt Sennett, Director of Government Programs and Contracts for Willamette Dental. And I'll kind of echo and go into a little bit more detail from where Doug left off. So Willamette believes the state oral health program is a critical oral health stakeholder, both centrally within the OHA and in a decentralized role across the state and communities. And we also believe that that role has historically been more autonomous than it has been purely collaborative at a community level. Healthcare transformation in Oregon has impacted every niche of the delivery system, including the state oral health program. To best support the delivery system and transformation, the program should be evolving more towards a hub-and-spoke model, principally responsible for oversight and standard setting rather than direct patient care. The impetus in this case was the CCO sealant metric in 2015, which has heightened the focus on the role of the program, that being the state oral health program, in supporting sealant provision across the state. The sealant program, ran by the state oral health program, has made a positive impact in the community served, but the need has exceeded the supply and the scope of their operation. Not only has it exceeded the scope and supply, but the definition of need has evolved to a more systematic definition, a definition based on the needs of a delivery system focused on and charged with improving sealant provision across the state. Data and quality are two key components that are not centrally housed at this point in time, nor are they included within the historical definition of scope and supply under the previous constructs of the program. We support an investment of dollars for both expanding the footprint and evolving the program, but we do not support one without the other. More of the same will not result in a systematic improvement needed to equip the delivery system in a manner that can be reasonably expected to change the outcomes in our communities. We have worked, as Doug alluded, since the original bill language was released, we have worked collaboratively and constructively with a group of stakeholders to draft an amendment to that bill. That draft was sent to LC late last week for consideration, and the version that you do have today that was released last Friday was a byproduct of that effort.
The dash one?
The dash one, yes. The current amendment does address many of the themes that we sought in the draft, but we do believe there's still room for improvement in areas such as the data collection and the quality oversight, which we think are fundamental and vital towards really evolving a program best suited to meet the CCO delivery system's needs. We hope that that continued dialogue will result in at least another amendment that can address those areas, and we look forward to seeing what the culmination of that process can bring. Thank you.
Of course, you know, the more we ask the Oregon Health Authority to collect data and monitor, to establish the oral health program, have you talked with them regarding the fiscal impact or had any collaboration with them?
Yeah, I mean, we've entered into general conversations. I don't think when we distill it down to line item type applications, we've really quite vetted that out. I think part of the problem, Chair Mona's Anderson, is trying to take where they're currently focused, which is more of a balance in direct patient care, and trying to reconfigure and reallocate how the same investment can be used to fulfill different roles. If they're getting out of the direct provision of care, it theoretically will free up dollars to spread across more of these surveillance oversight functions, and then looking to further tap into conversations around how the Oregon Health Authority, which is sister agency being the MAP program, technically should have some of the capabilities to help get this data piece more operationally understood and really distill the conversation down to more brass tacks. More work would be needed, though.
Chairman Sanderson, on the data collection piece of it, currently it's very different. There's the Dental Sealant program provides a lot of the services in schools. Some of the dental care organizations also have programs that go into the schools. There's a number of community programs that also serve the schools. And now we have this new metric for the CCOs that require that the dental care organizations are going to be judged based on the provision of dental sealants. What we don't have is a good system, so no matter who's doing the sealants, whether it's the sealant program or one of the dental care organizations or a community program, there's no system that feeds that back so that we know whether the kids from Willamette Dental have been served in this school or Capital Dental or Advantage. That is what needs to happen. We need to come up with a mechanism so that no matter who's doing the program, the kids get credited where they belong.
So Dr. Austin in the back and oral health program, are you taking notes? All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Kelly.
Thank you, Chair Monis Anderson and committee members. This is an interesting bill to me.
Introduce yourself.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm Kelly Barnes, and I'm a concerned citizen for oral health in our community. This bill interests me, and I have multiple thoughts about it. For the record, I was a member of a City Club task force looking at alternatives to oral health in our committee, where we interviewed many people for a year-long process, those in support of water fluoridation and those in opposition. And we had about 13 recommendations at that report that are very similar to those in the Oregon Oral Health Strategic Plan. One of those recommendations was looking at metrics and infrastructure at a state level, so I absolutely agree with the testimony here that there needs to be further data collection and funding and infrastructure to allow that. One thing we also recommended was an additional DCO metric, which is really in the hands of a scoring committee, but we understand the value in incentivizing care. And currently, you can see in this bill that there is already an incentive to do dental sealants and essentially a reimbursement that allows for that through the CCO-DCO metric system. One of the things that our task force thought that was equally important and perhaps left out of this bill is that of fluoride varnish as a preventative service. It's very cost-effective with a DMAP fee schedule of $12 to $13 for material and provision of care. It also allows other, perhaps non-traditional providers to do that work outside of just the scope of dentistry, including nurse practitioners, PAs, et cetera, in a primary care medical office. But one of the challenges in the infrastructure is that the medical and dental system, as we alluded earlier, is not quite talking yet. So we're losing those metrics on who are and who are not getting fluoride varnish. The other reason that we believe that fluoride varnish may be effective, it also is eligible before the molars erupt. It's a U.S. preventative best recommendation, the task force, as soon as teeth erupt twice a year. And with a DMAP fee schedule, $12 to $13, we believe it's cost effective to potentially include in the rewrite of this amendment while also looking at infrastructure and necessity. So I would support both of those amendments in this current bill.
Great. Did you look at the Dash 2 amendments? Do you have a copy of it?
I didn't know there was a Dash 2.
Do you have the bill in front of you?
Yes.
Yep.
Line 10 of the printed bill, delete the word for, F-O-R, and insert to receive assistance under. I don't know who proposed this. Oh, Department of Ed. So we'll have them address that. Okay. Just a minute. All right. Okay. Any questions for the panel? Thank you very much. Weston Herringer, Emily Nazaroff, and Mel Rader.
Okay. Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, my name is Mel Rader, Executive Director of Upstream Public Health. I'm strongly in support of expanding the sealant program in schools. Sealant is a highly effective tool to prevent dental disease. That's put on in two places, in elementary school and in middle school for the second molars. I also support the proposal by Kelly to look at expanding, adding in fluoride varnish in schools. There's been changes in the recommendations that the at the Centers for Disease Control to do fluoride varnish for all children. And it makes sense to do that within schools in the future. But I do want to speak to some of those, what was referred to in sort of overlapping areas of responsibility in working within schools. On one hand, we have the healthcare transformation process that says CCOs are responsible for certain activities. The one metric around dental right now is sealants. At the same time, we have a state program from general fund dollars doing sealants in schools. And I think we're all in agreement that sealants are really important to do in schools, but they're, I'm not sure we've gotten to the point where there's a mechanism for sharing costs and coordinating responsibilities. And I think that's where we do need that state tracking system, both on sealants and varnish. We also need more clear guidance in terms of creating investment funds that combine public and private dollars to do community-based preventive services in places like schools. And so just put that on your radar. But in terms of the concept around expanding sealants in schools, it's very much support, and it's a proven cost-effective measure.
Good afternoon, Chairman Mona Sanderson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Weston Herringer, Jr. I'm a retired pediatric dentist from here in Salem. I was also the first staff dentist for the Dental Foundation of Oregon Tooth Taxi and spent 2 years going throughout the state of Oregon providing free care to kids. I am here today in support of Senate Bill 660 on behalf of the Oregon Dental Association. Tooth decay remains a significant public health concern and causes needless pain and suffering for Oregon's children, despite being preventable. It's a preventable disease, tooth decay. Efforts need to be focused on preventing cavities and treating them properly when they occur, especially given the potential consequences for school-age children. Dental sealant acts as a barrier to prevent cavities. Sealants are plastic materials that are applied to the chewing surfaces of back teeth, especially molars, six-year-old molars as they erupt for kids around age 6, 12-year-old molars for children 12, when their 12-year-old molars erupt. It also is effective on premolars. Through brushing and flossing helps remove food particles and plaque from smooth surfaces of teeth. Toothbrush bristles cannot reach all the way into the depressions and grooves of permanent molars. Sealants protect these vulnerable areas by sealing out plaque and food. The likelihood of developing pit and fissure sealant decay begins early in life. I've often seen it in children as the teeth are erupting in someone with a high decay rate. Even before the tooth's erupted, sometimes there's decay. So children are a great candidate for sealant, which when applied appropriately, when no existing decay is on the tooth, may protect the tooth it is applied to for several years. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Chairman Liz Anderson, members of the committee, my name is Emily Nazarov. I'm with the Oregon Department of Education, and I'm here today to speak regarding the -2 amendments that are proposed. Okay. We had reached out to your committee administrator after doing a review of the bill, and the reason we reached out is there's a technical fix that we see. Subsection 2 states that the program would apply where at least 40% of all students attending the school are eligible for the free and reduced program. All students are eligible. And so we pointed out that a more accurate weight would be to say that all students are eligible to receive where 40% of the students are eligible to receive assistance under the program. I took a quick look at the -1 amendments, and that fixes also in the -1 amendments.
It does, mm-hmm. In the -1s?
Yes.
So we don't really need the -2s?
I think that's my quick read of it.
Okay. All right.
Questions? Thank you so much. I was able to accompany my grandson at his first, he's 3 years old, his happy mouth visit is what he called it. And there was another little 4-year-old boy who was going to have to be sedated because he had such extensive work that he had to have on his, being a pediatric dentist, you may have seen this. And what a tragedy for a small child to have to go through
some pretty extensive mouth work, dental work. I would love to see this program be expanded, if at all possible. Thank you. Questions? Comments? Deborah Loy, and then the agency, please, again. Health Authority, you. Oh, good.
Senator Mona Sanderson and committee members, for the record, my name is Deborah Loy. I'm the Executive Director of Government Programs for Capital Dental Care. I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 660 with significant changes to the bill. We have been working with Willamette Dental and others on the Dash 1 proposed amendment. I am agreeing with Matt from Willamette Dental that there's still a little tweaking, I think, that could be done to get us to where we need to be. But I think what we did on the Dash 1 was a major improvement. I totally support the going to the 40% free and reduced lunch standard. The state oral health program has shared, too, that those children at that level are mainly poor children. So I think we would still be reaching our target audience for a school-based sealant program. Rather than expand their role as a direct service provider of sealants, the state oral health program is uniquely positioned to serve as a data collection, quality oversight, and surveillance resource of the school-based sealant program statewide. Capital Dental Care actually operates or is the provider of school-based sealants in the Marion Polk area, where no program existed. We took over the programs that were operated by the state oral health program in Yamhill and Lincoln County. And as part of doing that, we have ourselves and our expanded practice or our hygienists who do these programs go through recalibration every year as a quality part of the state partnership that we're building with the state oral health program. So we really do feel that quality oversight is very important, and the state oral health program has done a great job on that. We are also one of the members of an organization, a new nonprofit called Dental 3, which is a nonprofit that includes 7 of the 9 dental plans that are operating in the Tri-County area and the 2 CCOs that operate up there as a way to collaborate on a strategy for sealants. And it even includes the 2 dental plans in those conversations that are not part of the D3 organization. So we can effectively figure out what should sealants look like at a school-based level up in the Tri-County area. It includes many of the programs like the county health departments that are doing them to get everybody to the table, because I couldn't agree more. Right now, it's sort of a patchwork quilt out there that's operating for school-based sealants. Many of the children, as I've already indicated, at either 50% or 40% free and reduced lunch are poor, and they're going to be covered by the Oregon Health Plan. As such, because the dental sealants are one of the performance metrics, I think the CCOs and the dental plans are uniquely positioned to be part of the solution in figuring out how to deliver those sealants at a school-based level. Those kids are already in my cap rate for doing it, which is why Capital does that at places where we're the market share plan. So since they're already remunerated for me in my rates, I feel like we can do more to expand that statewide with the good oversight from the state oral health program. Currently, the sealants that the state oral health program does directly as a service provider are not reported to any of the CCOs or dental plans. So basically about 10,000 or so plus sealants that were delivered in a school-based setting by the state oral health program are outside the encounter data captured by the program, and we're missing all those. So somehow those need to be gotten. And so the Dash 1 amendment actually says that including the state oral health program, is delivering the sealant, that those will be reported into the Oregon Health Authority and captured by a child. And as already has been stated, Community Prevention Services Task Force, which is sort of the creme de la creme oversight agency for prevention, strongly supports school-based sealant programs. So I think we are in a good place to expand those programs.
Have you had a problem with workforce, you know, getting enough dental hygienists to?
No, in a lot of cases when we've taken over a state-operated program, we've hired the same people that they were already using, which when Dental 3 is looking at potentially similar, and that would be exactly the same strategy. We would hire the same folks or use the same folks that are already delivering those programs. We just bring them under our payment net versus the state oral health program.
Great. Thank you. Introduce yourself.
Good afternoon, Chair Mona Sanderson and members of the committee. I'm Kate Wilcox. I'm the Maternal and Child Health Section Manager in the State Public Health Division, Oregon Health Authority, under which the Oral Health Program exists. And I'd like to introduce my colleague. Go ahead.
And my name is Lori Johnson, and I'm with the Oregon Health Authority, and I am the School Oral Health Programs Coordinator, so I coordinate the School Dental Sealant Program.
And have you taken a look at this? The amendments or the bill?
I haven't seen the amendments.
So you, whatever we decide on, then you're going to need to take a look and then give us a fiscal and a revenue. But could you tell us just a little bit about the program and what kind of participation we have?
Well, we started the program in 2007, and that year there were only three counties of Oregon's 36 counties that were served by dental sealant programs in the schools. And that first year, we provided sealants for 11 schools. And then over the next 3 years, we expanded to provide sealants in schools for over 140 schools. And ever since 2010, we've been providing sealants in schools for 150 to 160 schools every year. And so we have worked very hard to develop good relationships with the schools. And it's very important to us to see that maintained, not only quality sealants, but good quality program within the schools. So we're not taking away from the education provided to the students in the school environment by taking them out of the classroom for lengthy periods of time, that the program is very, very efficient in what it does and respectful of the school environment.
So what if we wanted to change at, from 40% to 30%? Is that going to be a huge cost?
You know, research actually supports dental sealant programs in the schools down to 40% free and reduced lunch. And that if you go down to 40%, you are reaching a significant level of high-risk children. Below that, the research doesn't support doing that in schools as far as an evidence-based practice.
So is it
we would be going from 50 to 40.
50
to
40.
We'd be going from 50 to 40.
Yes, yeah. So okay. We would include that.
Because I would like all kids to get dental sealants, but
as far as delivering it in the school. Okay. Yeah.
Any comments? All right. Thank you very much, and we'll be working on amendment. I will let Doug Barber and coordinate that effort, and then once we have a good amendment, we'll be able to pass this one out. And so I will close the public hearing on 660. And colleagues, I want to carry over Senate Bill 673 just to have the board, the dental board, let us know, give us a comment on Senate Bill 673, because then we'd be able to pass it out next Wednesday, right? Okay. I think we've covered everything, right? We're adjourned.